God, I cannot but every day thank you for this privilege that we have in this very day, Lord, to come to you, Lord, with an expectation, Lord, that you will receive us, that you love us. And Lord, that we can sit at your feet, Father, as children coming to you, Lord, and we can bring our hurts, our fears, our burdens, Lord, our insecurities, Lord. We can bring it to you, Father, and know that you will pick us up, that you will, Lord, kiss our wounds. Lord, so I want to pray for the wounds here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would heal them. Lord, the hurt, the pain, Lord, the offense, Lord, the anger, the disappointments. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just come and that you will bring healing, Lord. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord, that is so beautifully made. Lord, it is so perfect. God, I want to thank you for your church, Lord, that is here today despite this beautiful day. It means your church is still alive. It means that we are here because of you, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will meet each and every one of us at our expectation here this morning. Lord, as we come to you, Father, meet us where we are at. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open our hearts to receive from you your word. What is on your heart, God? We want to know about your will. And Lord, we are here this morning, God, to hear from you. What is on your heart, Lord? And I pray, Father, that that will become ours, Lord, that your heart will become our heart, Lord. Your will become our will, Lord, that the thing that drives us in this life will not just be our desires, but your desires. Lord, so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and do a transformation in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to continue this morning. With the Holy Spirit, more specifically, why do we have the Holy Spirit? And all this is, of course, in the context of what God has been speaking to us as a church from the beginning of the year. And we've been speaking a lot about this. But as we continue, I want to put it in the context of what God is speaking to us. Why are we speaking about the Holy Spirit? It is because of what God has spoken to us, that whatever you have learned or received or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then, of course, in John 4, where Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." The urgency and the word that I believe God is speaking to us as believers here, not just in this congregation, but I also believe in this town, and not just in this town, but even beyond that, the fact that God is speaking to us about the urgency of the time that we're living in and all the things that we've heard and received and learned over the years, that it is time to put it into practice. It is time to finish the work. And it's in this context that we are also continuing with the Holy Spirit. Last week we asked this question, why did God save you? Why are you saved? Why did He save you? And that is the foundation of everything that we build on. It's the very fact that God loves you. That's why He saved you. It's because He loves you. We don't just come to God because we are forgiven. We come to God because He loves us. And we looked at what that love meant. We looked at the cost. We looked at how God demonstrated His love towards us and what it took for Him to bring us to this place of confidence that we can come into His presence, the sacrifice of His Son. And I just want to declare to you, you can come to God not just because you're forgiven. You come to God because you are loved. That makes a big difference. It makes a big difference, especially when we fall, especially when we make mistakes. It makes a big difference because we know we come to God not just because we're forgiven. We come to God because He's a Father that loves us. And I want to just emphasize that again. God loves you. God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. The fact that you are here today is because He loves you. And then we asked this question, why did God give us the Holy Spirit? We started to look in the context of the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament there was also forgiveness, there was also atonement. But then there was this promise in the Old Testament that God's presence will not just be with us, but that God's presence will be within us. And in the Old Testament, we saw how God was powerfully with His people, amongst His people. We saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And God's presence was amongst these people. And we saw the Shekinah glory of God in the temple, on the mercy seat, on the ark of the tabernacle. God was amongst these people. The presence was amongst these people. But in that dispensation, the word of God came to man through the prophet Joel and Ezekiel, that there will come a time when God will not just be with His people, but that He will be within His people. And that great expectation of God not just being with us, but within us. Joel said, and that's what came to pass, that I will pour my spirit on all flesh. And then in Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will pour my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And that was the big difference between the Old Testament believer and the New Testament believer. The fact that God no longer lives amongst us, He now lives within us. And the great significance of that, we spoke about that. You know, John, the Gospel of John is one of my favorite Gospels, and it starts off so beautifully describing, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was made through Him. And then here in verse 14 it says, and the Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And how powerful that is. We behold His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then this same Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us said these words, but I go away. But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where am I going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away from amongst you, from your midst. It is to your advantage that I go back to my Father. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Why was it to our advantage that Christ, the incarnation, the Word that became flesh, that lives amongst us, why was it to our advantage that He were to go away? So that God can come in us, not just amongst us. And I think as New Testament believers, we become so blasé about this fact, that the Spirit of God now lives within us. And the big difference of that, one of the great mysteries of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, three persons yet together in one, and that one of those persons now lives within us. And then these things start to make sense when Jesus prayed over His disciples. He said, Father, as I am one with you, I pray that they will also be one with us. Because in the same way, the Spirit is no longer going to be in their midst, but it's going to be within them. And this great expectation and longing and fulfillment of that for us who live in this new dispensation. And we were starting to explore the significance of that last week. And one of the major differences, the first difference of the Spirit of God, not just amongst us, but within us, is intimacy. Is the fact that God lives within you. It means you no longer have to go to the temple, to where the glory or the presence of God is. You don't need to go to Jerusalem. He's within you. That is amazing. Well, at least it is for me. We no longer have to go to the temple in Jerusalem. There's a new level of intimacy. It is the person, and we spoke about that, not just the power of the Holy Spirit, but the person of the Holy Spirit now that lives in with us, within us. The person of the Holy Spirit lives within you and me. Now, we know what Corinthians says, that do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you? So there's a level of intimacy that the New Testament believer has access to that is completely different to what the Old Testament believer had access to. There's something completely different. It is the Spirit of God, the presence of God within us. My question is, do you know Him? Do you know Him? This is the person, the helper, the counselor, the spirit of truth that lives within you. Do you know him? Because so many times we forget these promises and the realities of God and we don't relate to it. We read these scriptures, but do you pursue him? I mean, we know about the Father that loves us and Jesus that died with us, but do you know the Spirit that lives within you? As scripture says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives within you. I mean, if you never thought about this, I want to challenge you, take 3 days and just think about that. That's Christian meditation. Just fill yourself with that. Just take some time and just pray and say, God, your word says your spirit is within me. I want to know this. After 3 days, you will not be the same. If you're the same, you can get your money back. Honestly. If you diligently seek him with that question, God will reveal himself to you in a different way. This is not a theory, people. This is not a theory. This is not a philosophy. This is a reality. I can say it because I know it. So I want to encourage you, if you don't, pursue it. Pursue it until you get it. It will change your life. But don't take my word for it. You go find it. You go find it. He is the one who seals us, who seals our salvation. He's the one who changes us. He's the one who empowers us. And he's not just a power, but a person like Christ. He speaks, he directs. We can follow him, we can miss him. We can please him, we can grieve him. But before I continue, I first want to look at how we receive the Holy Spirit, because you know, there's so much confusion around this. How this relates so closely to the primary purpose of your salvation. It's the fact that he loves you. The fact that he wants a relationship with you. The primary reason for us having the Holy Spirit is, firstly, he is the one who seals us and changes us. He's the one that does the regenerational work within us. That's one reason why the Holy Spirit is within us. It's the one that creates within us the new creation. When a sinner becomes a saint, this whole process of being born again. He is the one that transforms us. He's the one that not just transforms us into a new creation. He's the one that comes and occupies us, that lives within us. The Spirit of God comes, dwells within us, and he changes us from the inside out. But he's also the one that empowers us to do the work of the kingdom. And that's these two aspects of the Holy Spirit, the regenerational work of the Holy Spirit and the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit, but it's got two aspects in my life. One to transform me, and the other one to empower me. And that's what I also believe is the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Both are of the Spirit, both are manifestation of the Spirit of God within me, but both the fruit and the gifts have separate purposes, applications, and realities within me. And many Christians are confused here between the indwelling of the Spirit and the empowerment of the Spirit. You know, the charismatics, we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's so many different terms. And the infilling and the empowerment and being slain and anointed. You've heard all these things and it creates so much confusion. I mean, who has the Spirit and who doesn't have the Spirit? And when do you have the Spirit and do I have the Spirit? And this morning, I really pray that God will help us to understand the difference and the reality of it. Now, the moment you give your life to God, the moment you come to that point where you say, Father, Jesus, save me. I give you my life. I want to embrace you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. The moment you give your life to God, the Holy Spirit comes and fills you. You have the Holy Spirit. The moment you are saved, this whole process of being born again, this whole process, the whole process of conviction is the Holy Spirit. This whole process of the revelation of who Christ is the Holy Spirit. This whole process of then giving your life to God is the Holy Spirit. And then the moment you do, the fact that this creation has changed, this miracle of new life, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the moment you give your life to God, the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, comes and lives within you. You become the temple of God. You have been embraced. The moment you give your life, God gives His Spirit. That is the seal, the guarantee of your inheritance. It is yours. So the moment you give your life to God, the Holy Spirit comes within you. As a matter of fact, it is the whole process of being born again. In Ephesians 1, we says, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. You see, the moment you believe and you give your life to God, the Holy Spirit comes within you. So do you have the Holy Spirit as a believer? Yes, you do. You do. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit, you're not saved. First and foremost, there is this regenerational work of the Holy Spirit that takes place around salvation. And it is through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that this whole new process starts. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel when I say to you, you must be born again. So this whole process of being born again is through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have the Spirit within you. And the manifestation of the Spirit, the evidence that the Holy Spirit is within you, is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the change that takes place in your life. Who if you got saved and then everybody the next day said, you've changed? Have you seen that before? You know, people were sinners and then they give their life to God and the very next day they're different. There's something different about them. Sometimes you can't put your finger on it, but there's something different about you. What happened? And sometimes we can even see it physically and in the way people relate and this whole change that takes place within somebody. That's the Holy Spirit that comes and fills the sinner, transforms him into a saint and changes his desires from within. And then something within him starts to change. The fruit of the Spirit starts to manifest. We read of that fruit in Galatians 5. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that the Spirit starts to form in us as He lives within us. You see that in people. It's an internal process that takes place. Do you notice that? The fruit of the Spirit are absolutely internal, which comes from the inside to the outside. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. It's internal evidence of the Holy Spirit within you. It's also the fulfillment of Ezekiel 36. Remember Ezekiel 36, this great promise? We read it so often, but do you read it carefully? This is now in the context of the Old Testament where people tried through their works to obey God, through their own effort. Through their own effort, they tried to please God. And then God said, there will come a time when I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you. And what will be the result of that? The Spirit of God within you. He will cause you to walk in my statutes. And He will keep, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Because the Spirit comes within you, it's going to change you from the inside out, and He's going to cause you to do the things that you try so hard to do and fail. So he's going to come and transform you. And you can read about that. I don't have time in Romans chapter 8. It puts it so powerfully in Galatians chapter 5. If you want to know about this miracle of the Holy Spirit within you that transforms you from the inside out, go read Romans 8 and Galatians chapter 5. That's the one aspect of the Holy Spirit that comes within us. That is the regenerational work. Then there's a second work of the Holy Spirit within us, and that is the empowering work, the anointing work. The empowering us to do what God has called us to do. One changes us from the inside, and the other one empowers us to do the work. Now, it's so interesting. On the first day of the resurrection, on the very first day of the new covenant, within Acts, we see the working of the regenerational work of the Holy Spirit and the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. On the very first day, you must understand, the promises of Joel and Ezekiel was done on the old covenant. It promised that there will come a day when I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. There will come a day when I will pour out my Spirit within you and cause you to change. That was in the old covenant. When did the new covenant start? When Jesus rose from the dead. When the tomb was empty. That was day one. You see, on that day, when Jesus died, He paid for our sins. On the resurrection, He overcame sin and death. And we, whoever got saved then, was in the new covenant. That's the start. Day one. Day one. Who of you watched 24 before? You know, hour one, day one, whatever. No, this is day one. Day one, when Jesus rose from the dead. Day one. Let's see what happened on day one. Here in John chapter 20, we read this encounter. This is now just after Mary went to the tomb. If you've got your Bible, you can check this. Just after she came to the tomb and it was empty. It was the first day. Then, on that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. This is the first time that Jesus appeared to all the disciples except Thomas. And He said to them, "Peace be with you." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His sides, and His disciples were glad and they saw it was the Lord. They believed. Okay. Remember, we see the account in Matthew and Luke, how when the women came and told them that Jesus was risen, they didn't believe. And then some of them ran to find the tomb empty. And here was the first time when they were all together, and here Jesus appears to them the very first time, and they all believe Jesus is alive. It's not just a rumor. His body was not stolen. The word is true. The Messiah has risen. He is alive. And then Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." And when He had said them and shown His hands and His sides, the disciples were glad and they saw it was the Lord. So then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm also sending you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Day one, new covenant. The promise is fulfilled within you. The promise of the Spirit that's going to be poured out within you and give you a new heart of flesh, not of stone, and will cause you to change. Receive the Holy Spirit. Day one. Jesus remained with His disciples for how many days after? Another 40 days. Another 40 days, Jesus appeared to them in different occasions, speaking to them about things to come. And then on the 40th day, what happened then? The ascension. And just before the ascension, just before Jesus was taken up, the Great Commission. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this is the powerful thing about the Great Commission, in case you haven't picked it up yet, why I always start there, because that's where it says, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I will be with you always to the very end. And after he has given his disciples this great commission, he said to them, but before you do anything, wait. Before you go with this, I'm going to my Father, but before you go anywhere, before you do anything, please wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because one Acts puts it beautifully, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the age. Do you see the difference? What was the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said there, to empower you to do what? To be witnesses. This is my Spirit within you that seals you in this new covenant, but you have a commission. This is the Spirit that comes within you and testifies with your spirit that you are children of God. And if children, heirs and co-heirs with Christ, we know Romans, eh? This is the Spirit within you that seals you, that is the guarantee of your inheritance. But this is the commission while you wait for my return. I want you to do what? Make disciples. Make disciples. You 11 guys. I want you to go. You 200 people. I want you to go and make disciples. I'm sorry. We cannot get away from this. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He says, Father, as you sent me, I am sending them. We are all sent with a purpose. And yes, it's daunting and it's challenging. And Jesus is saying, but before you go, wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when He comes, He will give you power. He will empower you. He will enable you to be what? Witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We are pretty much at the ends of the earth at the moment, from where that was spoken. But we still have an article. So we're not there yet. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the empowering of the Spirit to do the work of the commission. It is the anointing to do the work. And yes, this commission is daunting. Who of you feel uncomfortable when a preacher says you are called to make disciples? Nobody uncomfortable. Well, I am. When somebody says, this is your meaning in life. It's like, ooh, shucks, how am I going to do that? The good news is, God says, listen here, don't worry. I have someone that's going to help you. That's going to enable you to do that. And that is where the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where the second infilling comes, if you want to say. It is the empowering to do the work. And what is the manifestation of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? The manifestation of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit. We have the fruits of the Spirit, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. That is internal. And then there's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do the work, which is outward, the gifts. And where do we read about the gifts? If you've done Bible school, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says here, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. The other one is the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. the other faith through the same Spirit, the other gifts of healing by the same Spirit, the other working of miracles of the same Spirit, the other prophecy, the other discerning of spirits, the other different kinds of tongues, and the other interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually, oh dear, as He wills. Go next slide. No, back. Sorry, go back. Sorry, it cut off. All right, but you'll have to trust me. Go in your Bible. It's there. So, do you see the difference between the gifts and the fruit? The fruit are internal. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. And then there comes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To be effective witnesses. To be laborers. To do the work of the commission. What is the manifestation of that in your life? Well, it is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of faith, the word of healings, the working of miracles, the prophecy. Do you see? That's outward things. These things, wouldn't you agree, would make us more effective in our witnessing? I mean, it's good to have the joy and the love and the peace and the kindness and the goodness that will attract people to you. But how powerful would it not be if somebody comes to you and you pray for them and they get healed? Wouldn't that make you more effective? Or you can do a miracle. Wouldn't that make you a more effective witness? Or you give a word of wisdom into their life. And you say, you know what? I know the struggles that you're going through, but this is what you need to do. Or word of knowledge that says, I know what happened 2 years ago. Or a prophecy that this is going to happen and then it gets fulfilled. You see how the gifts of the Spirit makes us more effective? And that's where some people get confused. You all have the Holy Spirit when you're saved. But some of us still need to get empowered to do what? To be witnesses. You can see the effect it had in the disciples' lives. Before the empowerment, they were hiding. You know, so many times when we are challenged to be an effective witness to the world, we feel insecure, unable, unsure, not equipped. And I know I'm the only one that feels like that. Are there anybody else? Okay, there's some of us here. You can be honest here. We don't tick your name off. It's okay. You can be honest. Sometimes we feel unable. Sometimes we feel we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And Jesus knew that. And He said, that's why you got to wait before you do anything. When He comes, He will empower you to be witnesses. And that's where it comes in. And then all these gifts starts to manifest. And that makes us more effective. The difference is the internal work, which is the manifestation of the fruit, and then the external work, which is the manifestation of the gift. Now, both can happen at the same time. Don't make a mistake. That is the normal Christian birth. The normal Christian birth, if you look in the New Testament, is somebody repents, they believe they repent, they get saved. Immediately, they get baptized. Immediately. There wasn't a separation. If you get saved, you get baptized. And immediately after you come out of the water, what do? We pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because then we say, there you go. It's almost like the pits op die boutjie vir die baba wat gebore word. You know, just breathe. Okay? That's the normal Christian birth in the New Testament. Repent, believe, repent, get saved, get baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and there you go. Unfortunately, through centuries of decades of theology and debates and differences and all kinds of things, these things are separated. Sometimes people get baptized before they believe. Sometimes people believe before they get baptized, which is not bad. But you understand what I mean? Now we've made it so complicated. But the normal Christian birth is believe, get saved, get baptized, get full of the Holy Spirit and go. And it was all in one process. But we also see in the New Testament that sometimes people believed, got baptized, and were only later empowered by the Holy Spirit, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's not unusual to have a difference. It's just not kind of, I almost want to say convenient, is maybe not the right word. it's not conducive to effective discipleship. Because the aim of discipleship, Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Look, sorry guys, can't get past this one. If you follow Jesus, you're going to become more like him. Your heart is going to become more like him. And you're going to start to do like him. That is the process. That's our aim. If you don't know what, if you want to know what is our hidden agenda, we want to make you fishers of men. We want to make you witnesses. That's where we're coming from. So we see here that this is the whole process. It can happen at the same time, but sometimes it doesn't. But there will always be a manifestation. Let me put it this way. I know the word manifestation brings lots of alarms. There will always be evidence. There will always be a process of change within you. When you get saved, there will be a change in your life. If you're not saved here today and your life is in a mess, I've got good news for you. When you give your life to God, your life will change. Your life will change. It will never be the same again. It will change. I was depressed. I wanted to commit suicide. I hated myself. And the day I gave my life to God, my life changed. I'm an introvert. I remained an introvert until I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm still an introvert. You don't believe me. I'm sweating, not because it's hot here. Okay? I'm still an introvert. Ask my wife. I'm not the light of the party. Okay? My greatest desire is to be stranded like whosoever on an island all on my own, and I'll be very happy. I'm an introvert. But God took hold of me, and I'm not the same. Okay? So I want. If you don't know Jesus, I've got good news for you. Your life is going to change. And not for the worse, for the better. And if you're afraid, if you're uncertain, if you're unsure, I've got good news for you. When the Holy Spirit empowers you, you will become an effective witness. Because the gift of the Spirit will start to operate through you. And that's what today is all about. But there will be change. Jesus said the following. When you get saved, when you get empowered, there will be a change. Jesus said, you will know them by their. If you were a sinner and you get saved, you won't remain a sinner. You will change. You won't be perfect. But slowly but surely, the things that you wanted to do, the things that drove you to do what you did, all of a sudden there's something else within you that drives you to do something else. And all of a sudden, the frequency of doing this starts to change and you kind of don't want to do this anymore. This is just like, you know, you just don't want to do this anymore. You want to do this. And this process of change. And Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. Don't let somebody fool you, say they're the Christian, but they live like an unbeliever. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. They will change. They will change. And they will continue to change. They won't be perfect, but they will continue to change. I always say sin will become an exception in an otherwise holy life. Will they never swear again when they used to swear every day, every word, every second word? You know, I used to be like that. I used to swear. I came out of the army, man. I used to swear a lot. But then all of a sudden, you know, I hardly ever swear anymore. And I have to think very carefully when I do. When last I did. It's amazing. When last did I use the S or the F word? 20 years ago? Amazing. Something happened within me. Did I try to stop? No, I just didn't want to anymore. Something just changed within me. That's the inworking, the regenerational work of God within me. But this being a witness thing, shucks, it was a bit hard for me. But then that day when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, something changed. As a matter of fact, within that week, I woke up my CSV leader in the middle of the night with a prophecy. I believe God is saying He's bringing revival to our campus. Something changed within me. He was like, first shocked that somebody woke him up at 3 in the morning, then shocked that it was me, then shocked what I said, then shocked because it was me that said it. Something changed. So the same with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. When the empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes from you, there will be a change. There will be a manifestation. Whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's prophecy, whether it's healing, whether it's miracles, whether it's the gift of faith, whether it's the sermon of spirits, there's something that will manifest in you. Now, the charismatic world, unfortunately, out of all those gifts that's meant to empower us to become more effective as a witness, puts so much emphasis on speaking in tongues. Okay, for us, that's it. That's like the Holy Grail. It's like if you can do that, you sort it. How sad. How sad. Because if you read that carefully, cut that off. Sorry. But that verse said that the Holy Spirit gives to each one. Well, let's go to the next one. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually as His will. When He talks about the gifts, the words wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, healings, all those things, it says here, but one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So in other words, to some He gives wisdom, to some He gives... You must actually go read this in the context. It's even more beautiful because here it speaks about the context of the body. The eyes and the ears and the nose, you're not all the same. But it also makes it very clear that you're not meant to be the same. The nose cannot say to the ear, because you're not a nose, I don't need you. As a matter of fact, God in His wisdom has placed all these things differently so that we can function together. So, the guy who speaks in tongues cannot tell to the guy who prophesies, I don't need you, because you don't speak in tongues. Do you understand that? There's a big difference. As a matter of fact, here the next verse that I wanted, here it goes in Corinthians, is another verse that speaks about, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? The answer is no. But what it does say also very powerfully is that we must eagerly desire the best, or another translation in Greek, the greater gifts. So in other words, you know, as charismatics, we put so much emphasis and sometimes, unfortunately, with that, so much pressure that people must speak in tongues but we miss what the purpose of the empowerment of the Spirit is. You know what makes tongues very powerful? And really, like Paul also says when he writes to the Corinthians that all spoke in tongues, he said, I speak more in tongues than any of you. But you know what, guys? That is not the only gift. That's not the only gift. Yes, it is an amazing gift of intimacy, what I spoke about last week. It's an amazing gift of intimacy where you can speak to God directly in a spiritual tongue. It's great for your own faith, because you see the manifestation of the empowerment of the Spirit within you. It's great for your own faith. It's great to build up your faith. And my desire, just like Paul's, is that all of you would speak in tongues. Okay? So if you do not speak in tongues, yes, we want to pray with you, and we will continue to pray for you with that desire until you can. Okay? Right. So I'm not belittling speaking in tongues. I'm all for it. I speak in tongues. I love speaking in tongues. I love coming in God's presence. And just speak in tongues, there's just something in my spirit that awakens differently to my understanding. It's just amazing. So if you can't, I want to encourage you. It's amazing, you walk into a situation and you don't know what's wrong, but you know something is wrong. So you just pray in the Spirit. Because you know your spirit prays with God's Spirit directly what needs to be prayed right here. Lovely gift. Okay? But, the purpose of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is so that we can be effective witnesses. If I stand on the street corner and pray in tongues, what will they do? They'll probably phone somebody, gives me a nice jacket that hugs myself and put me in a nice room with pillows everywhere. Okay? But imagine In the charismatic church, we pursue speaking in tongues with our great emphasis and pursuit to have everybody speaking. Imagine, just imagine for a moment, we can pursue the gift of healing in the same way. Imagine what the church would be like if everybody flows in the gift of healing. Imagine what our witness would be if we can as easily say, and stop when we want and start when we will, that we can do exactly the same with healing. Walking in the street and pray for somebody to get healed. Just imagine that for a moment. So, do you see how all these gifts, the prophecy, the healing, the miracles, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, if you want to know what they're all about, come to Bible school, how that makes a difference in us being effective? It makes us effective witnesses. Bible, the word of God says that we must desire these gifts. We must desire them. It also says that God gives to each one as He wills. He doesn't give everything to everyone. As a matter of fact, in God's wisdom, He decided that for some I will give healing, and for some I will give tongues, and for some miracles, and for some prophecy, and for some two or three. But the reason God in His wisdom, He explains it in Corinthians, the reason why, because He says, well, then otherwise the one is going to say, I don't need you. But actually, we need each other. So, we need to desire the greater gifts. And yet Paul was speaking to the Corinthians church that spoke in tongues, and that's all that they did, and it was chaos. And he said, no, come on, Owens. You're missing the point. When somebody speaks in tongues, one or two come up, and if there's not an interpretation of that, you sit down because it only edifies yourself. It doesn't edify the unbelievers. So there must be interpretation of tongue as well, the other gift. But he says to them, listen, I see you're so passionate to speak about tongues. Why don't you rather desire the greater gifts, like prophecy? Because if you prophesy, it actually has far more benefit to everybody there than you just speaking in tongues the whole time. So the same for us as a church. As we are moving into, putting into practice everything that we've heard and seen and heard for so long to finish the work, let us pursue these gifts, but let us not just pursue speaking in tongues, but let us pursue the healing, the miracles, the prophecy, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Let us pursue all of them. Let us pursue all of them. Because we want to finish the work. We want to put into practice that what we have received. It's time to do that. So, we want to give an opportunity for that today. So, to conclude, all the gifts of the Spirit is to help us to do the work of the kingdom, to be more effective in our witnesses. The fruit helps us to become like Christ. The gifts help us to do like Christ. That is the difference. For all of us, we have the Spirit. Some of you, you got the empowerment of the Spirit the day you got saved. Others, it's maybe time. Maybe it's time. One thing is for sure. God is saying, it's time to put it into practice. It's time to put it into practice. It is time to finish the work. If you are here in our church, you are not here by mistake. God knows you, and He knows why you're here today, and He knows why you've been here for weeks. And He's saying the same thing. I'm saying, God, I hear you. Can we say something else? Well, He's still saying the same thing. All the things that you've learned, you receive, you've heard, it's time to put it into practice. It's time to finish the work. So I want to encourage you, if you're here today, if you are saved, well, if you're not saved, if you haven't surrendered your life to God and you've heard the gospel, you've heard the good news, you've heard these invitations before, it's time today to respond, to a new life. Your life will be changed for good. If you're here today and you are saved and you have the Spirit within you, but you're not yet empowered to be a witness, to be effective in your witnessing, you're not emboldened yet. You're not actively flowing in the gifts yet. Today is a time to put it into practice. To receive it. How many more sermons must we preach? I want to invite you today, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have been empowered, but you only speak in tongues, and you're not flowing in some of the other gifts, and you have a desire. You have a desire to prophesy. You have a desire to move in healing. You have a desire to do miracles. It is time to put it into practice. So, at the end of the service, we're going to make an altar call for those who want to give their life to Jesus. It's going to change your life. And we're going to baptize you, and we're going to pray for your Holy Spirit. Somewhere net here vandaag, somewhere in die pool. We're just going to do it the normal way. I love it in the harbor, but if you get to save today, you get all three in one for the same price. It's a bargain. If you are saved, and you've not been empowered yet, and you want to receive the empowerment, we're going to pray for you. And if you have been empowered, and there's other gifts that you desire, we're going to pray for you also. And I trust all of us will respond with a desire to see God's work done. To have more of Him. Amen? I have a lot more to say, but my time is running out. But hey, man, Jesus. He is alive. Amen. He's still alive. I love the example that He set. He was the Son of God. Full of the Spirit of God. He didn't start His ministry until He received the Holy Spirit. Remember the day that He was baptized and the Holy Spirit came around and remained on Him like the Spirit. From that moment, when He was empowered, He started His ministry. That's Jesus. If it works for Him, it works for me. So, okay, let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that You love us. You love us. That's why You gave Your Son for us, not because You were angry. Lord, You knew my first day, You know my last day, Lord. You see me the way I am. You saw me in all my sin when I was still a sinner and ungodly, when I was still an enemy, God. You gave Your Son for me, because You loved me. He had to die on a cross to bear the consequence of my sin so that I can be free. Lord, I pray today, if there's people here that has not yet embraced that gift of love, Lord, I pray that they will do so today. And if that is you, and you know you need to respond, I just want you, while all the eyes are closed, just respond to Jesus by raising your hand. Say, Lord, here I am. I want to give You my life. Thank You for that hand. Is there anybody else? This is God speaking to you. It's an opportunity to respond to this gift. And Father, I want to thank You that You have not just saved us, but You poured Your Spirit into us. And that, God, is so powerful. And next week, Lord, we're going to talk about identity. What it means. What it means to have the Spirit of God in. What does it mean? And Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for all of us that are here today, Lord, that You have poured Your Spirit within us. God, You have transformed us from the inside. Lord, You've given us a new heart and a new spirit and a passion for You, Lord. We are here today because of You. Lord, we say no to the beach and all the activities. Lord, we are here because we want to. We don't understand. I don't even understand it. But we are here, Lord, simply because we love You. And You're amazing, God, and we want more of You. There's a hunger in us, Lord, that cannot be satisfied except by You. And we are here because of You in us. And Lord, I want to pray for those who are here. Lord, Paul, wherever he went, when he met believers, the first thing that he asked was, were you baptized with the Holy Spirit? We read of that in Acts. Lord, and today I want to do like Paul, and I want to ask all of us here, have you been empowered? Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? And if you are here today and you cannot with certainty say, but I have the gifts of the Spirit manifest through me. I've come to the place where I ask God to come and fill me, where I not just thank Him to be saved, but I say, God, I want to be your witness. And I want you to help me. That's why the Holy Spirit is there. It's the counselor, the helper, the one who empowers us. If that is you and you're not sure, or you've never been prayed for, or you don't flow in the gifts and you want to, I want to give you an opportunity as all the eyes are closed. If that are you, just raise your hand. If you are here and you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, thank you for those hands. Just raise your hand. We just want to have an indication. We're going to ask for you to come, but we want to know just how many you are. Thank you for those hands. And then I want to ask, if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and you can flow in a gift, but there are other gifts that you've never asked God for, you have never asked Him for it. Or you have asked Him for it and you haven't received it, but you have a desire for it. It is a desire. You want it. You say, God, I want to flow in this gift also. If that is you, we want to pray for you also. If that is you, just raise your hand. We just want to see who you are. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for all these hearts that are responding. Lord, I thank you for each and every one. God, you know their hearts of desire, Lord. You know their hunger, Lord. I want to pray, Father, that as they come forward, Lord, and we pray for them, Lord, I pray, Lord, you say in your word in Luke, Lord, you say that we can ask you and we should not be afraid. As a matter of fact, Lord, you say, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. In Greek, Lord, it is so powerful. It is present continuous tense. It says, I say to you, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and it will be open. For everyone who asks, receive. And everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will he not give him a stone? Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So, Father, we come to you as a good Father. And today, Lord, we ask you. We ask you for salvation, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for your Spirit within us, God. And we ask you, God, for the empowerment of your Spirit within us. God, we pray, Lord, that you will make us effective in our witnesses. God, you say in the Great Commission, Lord, you said, as you are going. It's not go into the world. It literally says, as you are going. In other words, as you are going about whatever you do, whether you're an accountant or a teacher or a housewife, as you are going, make disciples. Lord, I pray that you will empower us to be effective as we are going about what you have called us to do in this life, that we will see people saved. So God, I pray that you will empower us to do that you will teach us, that you will show us, because we don't always know how to do this, Lord. We don't know how to do this always. It's confusing, it's difficult, but God, you promised that you're going to empower us, that you're going to be alongside us, that you're going to help us. So God, I pray for that also. And I pray, Lord, for those of a hunger and thirst for a specific gift, Lord, that as they come to ask, Lord, that you will give them that gift. That you will give them that gift. As you will, God, but give them that gift. Give them the desire of the heart. So if that is you, if you've raised your hand, if you haven't raised your hand, and you have a desire to receive any of those three, I want you to quickly come forward. And we're going to pray for you. Yaku and the leaders, everybody, if you can come forward also. So if you've raised your hand, come, we're going to pray for you now. That is why we come together on Sundays. So that we can connect with God, so that we can receive from Him, because He's a good Father. Okay. And as you come forward, it doesn't matter for what you're coming, when the counselor comes to you, somebody's going to pray with you, a facilitator. Just tell him your need. Tell him your desire. Tell him your desire. I'm here because I want to get saved. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm here because I want to be empowered. I'm here because I want a specific gift. And then we're going to anoint you and pray for you. Amen? Great. If you're still in your seats, I want you to pray. Pray for these people here. And if you want to join us, come join us. If you have to go, may God bless you. Have an awesome day. There's some coffee at the back. Share with us, fellowship. thank you for coming. But if you want to stay just a moment or two and just pray for these people also, do that. Otherwise, may God bless you. We'll probably be busy for a while. So thank you for coming. May God bless you. If you need healing, also come forward. Okay? If there's sickness in your body and you need healing, also come forward and speak. We'll pray for that also. But now is a good time. Amen. Great. Guys, bless you. Father, thank you for each and every person here. Thank you that you love them, that you've called them, that you have a purpose for their life. Lord, thank you that you are working within us and you are stirring within us a hunger and a thirst for more of you. God, I pray that each and every one of us will leave this place hungry and thirsty for more of you. God, I pray, Lord, that as this hunger and thirst grow, Lord, that your word will become true, where you says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. God, I thank you that as this hunger and thirst grows, Lord, and we yearn for more, God, you say in your word that if we diligently seek you, you will make yourself found by us. Thank you, God, that you say that as we diligently seek you, you will step in front of us. And God, I pray for each and every person here, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, that we will continue to seek you and find you every day. Every day, Lord, make yourself found by us as we go in this week. God, and I pray, Lord, that we will be effective as we go. Lord, I pray for your Spirit to speak to us, to teach us, to show us the divine appointments along the way and the words to speak. God, that you show us the needs and give us the words to pray and to love and to be Christ in this world. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we invite people to come to church, that they will come. As we pray for them, that they will be healed, Lord. That you will give words of wisdom and prophecy and healing and miracles, Lord. I pray for your church to arise, Lord, not just here in this place, but in every church in Hermanus, God. I pray that you will pour out your Spirit, Lord, that you will shake the ground, Lord, that you will shake us, God, and that we will be Christ in this world. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Be blessed. Have an awesome day.